For the past several weeks, we've been studying the four servant song from Isaiah 53. Our text for this evening's sermon is just before the beginning of that chapter, Isaiah 52:15. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. As far as the text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When I use the word bloodbath, what kind of images does that bring to your mind? Perhaps you think of a terrible, awful scene, such as a terrorist attack like just happened this week in Belgium. Maybe a war battle, or even a terrible, brutal murder. These sorts of tragedies are often described with that term. Our text for this evening speaks of a different sort of bloodbath, however. It's a good bloodbath, one ordained by God for our benefit and our salvation. Our passage for this evening promised that Christ will sprinkle many nations. And when the blood of Christ is sprinkled on us, we're washed clean from our sins. We're bathed in God's forgiveness and covered with Christ's own righteousness. We're washed in the blood of God's sacrificial lamb. In that sense, we experience a bath in his blood, a holy bloodbath, if you will. And this thought of sprinkling of blood, this concept is a very Old Testament concept centered in the sacrificial system that God had given his people to carry out in the tabernacle and in the temple. And it's kind of lost its familiarity with us today to a certain extent. But our Christian faith is founded on the shedding of Christ's blood for us, on his death and resurrection. And this was what all of those Old Testament sacrifices were always pointing his people forward to. And then when we begin to understand those sacrifices and what God conveyed with them, we then begin to understand something of Christ's sacrifice for us. We begin to understand what it means then when we partake of that sacrifice in Christ's body and blood. Why did we have to have the shedding of this blood in the first place? Well, in God's Word, he has some harsh things to say about sin. And two verses maybe summarize that better than any others. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And Ezekiel 18 says, "The soul who sins will die." It doesn't get much more clear than that. Our sin causes us to deserve the sentence of eternal death and hell. Sin leads to death, and then when the Bible talks about death, it always talks about blood being shed, even though in real life, blood isn't always shed when we die. In order for sin to be forgiven, however, God laid forth that blood must be shed. That is the way God has ordained it to be. He summarizes this theology of sacrifice by saying, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. He says it in Leviticus, and he says it in Hebrews as well. In the Old Testament, God gave his people a variety of these sacrifices, granted the penitent believers the forgiveness of sins through these sacrifices, Old Testament sacraments, if you will. When certain animals were sacrificed and their bloods were shed, the sins of the people were forgiven. Not because they performed the sacrifices, but because they believed God's promises that he would forgive their sins in them. In the Old Testament, sometimes enormous numbers of animals were sacrificed with the outpouring of a lot of blood. For example, when King Solomon brought the Ark of the Lord into the temple in Jerusalem, it said that he sacrificed so many sheep and cattle that they could not be counted or recorded. You certainly have to describe this scene of so many animals being slaughtered as a bloodbath. No doubt it flowed freely. And it, yes, I know that's hard to think about. It's not a pretty picture. It wasn't. And that's part of the point. Atoning for the sin by the shedding of blood is a dirty, awful, stinking disgusting business, if you would. But it's also necessary. In our text, Isaiah prophesies that the suffering servant, who is Jesus Christ, he will sprinkle many nations. So what's the significance of the sprinkling of the blood? The Old Testament shows us a very vivid picture that anticipated what Christ would do for us. The sprinkling of blood was part of this sacrificial system. When God first established his covenant with Israel through Moses, he instructed Moses to sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice animals onto the congregation. Take it and sprinkle it on them. This blood was called the blood of the covenant. And when the blood was sprinkled on the people, that meant that they entered into a covenant with God and became members of God's people. The visible Old Testament church, if you would. As the blood was sprinkled upon them, the believing people received God's grace. In the Old Testament, there were many other such sacrifices where the priests were told to do this exact thing, sprinkle the blood onto the people. Often, also, as part of the sacrifice, the blood was also sprinkled onto the altar, onto the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. In this way, the life of the animal was offered to God in place of the lives of the sinful people. So by offering the blood to God on the altar, God accepted the sacrifices made to him in faith. And then the sprinkling of the blood on the people was to convey the benefits of those sacrifices, God's grace, onto the people. But in our passage, the prophet Isaiah is not looking just at the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. He's looking forward to the day of Jesus Christ. The prophet receives a vision of how Jesus Christ will sprinkle many nations with his own blood. In some ways, it would be similar to the Old Testament sacrifices, but it would be far, far greater. And obviously, the biggest difference is that it was Jesus Christ himself, true God and true man, who was sacrificed for us. Unlike the Old Testament priests, all of whom were sinful people like us, Jesus Christ alone is sinless and perfect and blameless. He had no need to make sacrifices for himself. He offered himself as a sacrifice for our sakes. He is the eternal Son of God. He is also the only perfect man to ever live. And for those reasons, those two things together, his suffering and death had more value than all those animals ever slaughtered combined. Because his death, his sacrifice, pays for the sins of the whole world. And because his sacrifice was of eternal value, he had to make it only once. Once for all time and once for all people. And once was enough. His one sacrifice accomplished what those daily repetition of the animal sacrifices, month after month, year after year, century after century, never could. Complete pardon and peace for the sins of every man, woman, and child. The sprinkling of Christ's blood cleanses our hearts from the condemnation of a guilty conscience. So how do we who no longer offer up animals for sacrifices, receive this grace of God? How are we sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ? In the Old Testament, that blood was sprinkled on the people physically, literally, to bring them into covenant with God. And having been cleansed by the blood, the people then ate and drank in God's presence and communed with him, as is described in Exodus 24. We too are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ through the faith in that which he's done for us. It's as simple as that. In his bountiful mercy, God's provided us his word and sacraments that he may pour, he may sprinkle his overflowing grace upon us and into us through his word and through baptism and the Lord's Supper. And most pointedly, on this Maundy Thursday, he instituted that which provides us his very body and blood of the sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. This cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? This bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? In this meal, we actually receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given and shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And just as the Old Testament believers received that forgiveness and grace when the blood was sprinkled on them, we receive God's forgiveness and grace in His body and blood. So in the worthy reception of this sacrament, we may say, to use the Old Testament language, that the atoning blood of Christ is sprinkled upon us. We may say that our robes are made white and washed in the blood of the Lamb. We may say that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Yes, we bathe in the grace of God. We do undergo a bloodbath of forgiveness. Our modern culture has a hard time accepting these words and these concepts. It's too dirty. It's gross sounding. It's ancient and archaic. It doesn't really apply today. It's too unclean for our modern sensibilities. And they have those objections, but the worst objection that they have is that they have a hard time believing what it is that we actually receive when we kneel at the altar and receive the elements. They have a hard time believing that it is actually Christ's body and blood. Surely, they say, it's just a figure of speech. It's symbolic. We're just saying that's what it is. Not really. No way could it actually be Christ's body and blood. The people of the Old Testament, when they had blood sprinkled on their bodies, had no doubt whether the flesh and blood of the animals was real. They saw with their own eyes real animals being sacrificed for their real sins, and they could feel the real blood of those sacrifices as it was sprinkled upon them. I declare to you today that Holy Communion is even more real than that. Because the more perfect forgiveness earned for us by the blood of Jesus Christ comes to us in a more sure and certain way than just something that we can sense. We don't rely on our sight or our touch or our taste when it comes to faith in these promises. We have something more sure and certain, and that is God's Word. He says, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Yes, a most precious and holy bloodbath. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.